mothers.
And others.
Popular music and parody.
Hey Liz, how are you?
I'm good, Shelley. How are you?
I am very well. Here we are again on another Music Mothers and Others with a best of special again.
That's right. We are looking again or listening again to the answers we've had to the question, how would you improve the music industry or make it a more family-friendly place? And what's really, really great, I think, about asking all of our guests this question is, I mean, we started rather shamelessly, didn't we, as music fans who all of a sudden felt ourselves a little bit left out because of the family commitments we had and even the family aspirations we had, you know, before we had commitments. But it's been really nice to hear the different ways that people have answered this and, you know, some of the suggestions that, you know, if people had a crystal ball, what they would do.
Yeah, if you had an ear to the minister, if you had a direct line to making some policy changes, we would hear we would think about what does the industry really want. And it's funny, isn't it? Particularly with the live music industry, we've had some great answers to that question, to do with the live music industry, because as we have learned, it's really hinging on sales from alcohol. And of course, then you get the, well, what do we do with our under 18 audience and so on and so forth. Yeah. And are the venues going to feel insecure if they host a family-friendly daytime concert and they know that people aren't going to be chugging down those pints?
It's really interesting though too, isn't it? Because where, and I guess there's a competition for that sort of limited amount of space, but if more than a few people have said things like, we'll just do it at different times or in different places. And it's been nice during the duration of our show to be able to see that happening as well, you know, places like Small Fry Rock up here, you know, and all of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe change is going to happen. Maybe we won't need to ask this question in years to come.
Imagine that. It'd be wonderful. Well, here we go. The best of changes you could make to the industry, really, from our guests. Thanks, Liz. Thanks, Nina, to our editor.
Thanks, Shell. Look after yourselves wherever you are. We're missing you. Bye.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Steph.
We're from Something for Kate.
And you're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
The first thing that springs to my mind is just that it would be great if licensed venues, were able to accommodate the fact that sometimes you might need to bring underage kids into the venue with you. And, sure, you know, when they're obviously at an age where they can be in a backstage green room or something, you know, for a while unsupervised, or they might be with a crew member or whatever. But, you know, that would be a really obvious thing. But overall, I think...
Well, more all-ages shows generally is something we spent years trying to... make happen, and there's been phases of, you know, there's been times where there's been like a whole flurry of all ages activities for rock music, and then they'll all stop because, you know, obviously venues find it difficult with the licensing issues. That's one area that I think really needs improvement across Australia, is having dedicated funding and venues that can house regular all ages shows, and at, you know, earlier times in the day and early evening. So you've got, you know, really young kids, but then you could have your teenagers as an outlet for teenagers as well, that's safe and they can go home and it's still light, or, you know, there's all that sort of thing.
And I think that also goes back to your previous question about how do you prepare the next generation to get into these industries. They have to be able to attend, you know, at a young age if they're going to get excited by it and want to know more about it. And, you know, so if you can, you know, make it accessible to them, then that's really how you're going to drive the interest.
And not just at that really big arena, Taylor Swift level of things. I think the reality of a smaller scale event can be a lot more educational for younger kids who are interested, but, you know, the big arena experience is so removed. So it'll be really nice for kids, you know. We grew up going to all ages shows, you know, where you saw the nuts and bolts of things a little bit more. And I think it's I think it's really
and it looked possible.
Well, it's possible. It's you know, it's not like, oh, I'll never be able to do this. It's actually, you know what, if you learn your instrument and you love writing songs and this is what you want to do, you can do this.
Do you think these kind of online things are that stopgap? You know what I mean? Because there's no restriction.
Yeah, I mean, I think any level of accessibility, even if it's just a direct, being able to have a direct conversation or ask a question directly to a performer or whatever, anything that makes it possible and accessible is going to motivate those youngsters. And like Steph said, as a kid, if I had only been able to see international acts in arenas, then that would have just been like, well, you know, how do you, that's you can never funny. Do that. But the fact that I was able to go to the Corner Hotel when I was 15 years old and see Magic Dirt, I mean, that was like, oh, people actually do this.
Hi, I'm Heidi Braithwaite, and you're listening to Music Mothers and Others. In a way, like I said before, the lockdown situation has kind of been a bit of a blessing in disguise in that it's changed the workplace to being at home. So it's given a lot of people who maybe don't have children a bit of a window into what it is like and the juggling and everything like that and the normalcy, I guess, just normalizing working around children. But yeah, I mean, as far as things like gigs, I think it's headed in that direction, or it started to anyway, with really great festivals that incorporated kids and parents, you know, like Fairgrounds and Lost Lands and things like that, which don't dumb it down for the parents, don't make it, you know, because that's the thing. I really hate events that it's just about the kids and the parents are kind of just going there to mill about and, I don't know, supervise. Because I kind of think, you know, we're going to kids' birthday parties every other weekend at this stage. That's enough. It's, you know, if we're going to another kids-only event where the parents are just there, it's just like going to a kid's birthday party. And they can be a chore, to be honest.
There's no chance to have a relationship there either, is there?
No. Yeah, you can't. It's so much better if there's something for everybody, and those kind of whole family events, like those festivals I mentioned, I think that's the pathway to it, you know, and that's again normalizing a family situation rather than just this is for kids, this is for adults.
I'm Don Spencer and you are listening to Music, Mothers and Others. I'm one of the others. It's a tough industry if you're a singer or an actor, because it does often take you away, or particularly actors and that have to go on location for months at a time sometimes, or longer. So I was particularly lucky that I was able to do what I did, but certainly a lot of my friends just have to battle with that, you know, and I've got, like a lot of people, got a lot of friends who are not still in a relationship or they're divorced and they're trying to juggle being a mother or a father and still perform. It's very complicated and very difficult unless you've got a couple of great sisters or brothers or grandmother and grandfather around. But people who don't have that support, it's very difficult. I can understand it's a huge problem, but I can't solve it.
No.
I wish I could, but you know, it's just supply and demand. If they want you and you've got to make a living, they want you in LA, you've got to go. That's it, you know.
Yeah.
They have to do. But nobody's calling me from LA at the moment, so I'm fine.
Well, there's one upside to this horrible virus, hey? Everybody can stay home.
You can stay home, yeah. Well, I'm used to staying home. I'm a homebody, that's for sure.
Hi, this is Coco from the Pogo Go Show, and you're listening to Music, Mothers and Others. I mean, maybe that's a thing that they could do more. It's like at rock venues, have sessions that are earlier that, you know, parents can bring their kids to as long as they got massive headphones, of course. You know, because late night gigs are definitely not really the place for children. You know, it's not ideal anyway. So, yeah, maybe just more kid-friendly times of shows. Yeah. But I don't know.
Do you find that Quan, Ben and Pete, some might say, oh, look, we couldn't do a show that starts at 11 o'clock at night, you know, because we've got to go home or we're going to be tired or the kid's going to wake me up or anything. Do you find that the guys talk at all about their parenting roles?
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, they still tour as Gurge and they still sell out shows that start at 11 o'clock at night. And I know for a fact that they get pretty tired after these shows now. You know, they kind of, that was one of the first things they liked about doing the kids' shows, is that we'd start at like 11 in the morning and you'd be done by midday. And then it was like, oh, now I can go relax and not have to go back to hotel and travel and sleep for 2 hours and then go again. They kind of liked the earlier format, definitely, as parents as well. Cassius even came, Kwan's boy Cassius, came on tour with us in Sydney earlier in the year. And I think, you know, that was quite hard as well, having a kid along as well. And but being that it was early gigs, it kind of didn't really matter, you know?
I wonder that too. I mean, because while we've got an industry that, I know in Sydney at least, we had real issues with all ages. Like, we don't have even enough of an all-ages circuit for teenagers. You know what I mean? Like, when we were teenagers, there were places you could go. There were things. If nothing else, it was a festival. Now there's kind of nothing. And I wonder if it's about, from early age, making the industry friendly and welcoming, you know, and if it's stuff like doing it at 11 o'clock in the day or...
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one. I mean, the all-ages stuff, I remember going to that as a teenager and loving it, but it does seem to be a little less these days, which I don't know if it's insurance reasons or I don't know.
Our final guests on this Best Of edition of Music Mothers and Others provided some excellent suggestions as to how the music industry could be more parent and kid-friendly. They also offer their thoughts about how the COVID-19 pandemic has changed the industry, for better or worse. Let's listen to Mary and Kate from the Bluey podcast, then Dave McCormack from Bluey and Custard, and then lastly, Kate Duncan, the CEO of youth organisation The Push.
Hi, I'm Mary.
And I'm Kate from Gotta Be Done, the Bluey podcast.
Obviously, there's plenty of people out there who have kids and then start thinking, okay, the world needs to fit them, you know, beyond me and my family. And I think a lot of the musicians of our generation have really done that. And I've loved seeing that. Patience from the Greats springs to mind up in Queensland. They put on some very family-friendly gigs, I think. Down here in Melbourne, I feel like it's out there, but some of the kid-specific things that are offered are very much, I feel like they consult the marketers before they consult anyone else. And the goal is Coachella for kids. Like, it's multi-day and it's got to be Instagrammable and just so much, when really a kid just wants space to run around and to be able to be noisy, not have to just sit in a seat. And then, yeah, if there's music, that's a bonus. And I feel like maybe if more musicians and more music promoters as well were prepared to put on events that were in the daytime and were a manageable kind of length and just had a bit of space and didn't try and pack people in and sit them down, they would probably have a lot more luck trying to get the family crowd there. And like everyone I know who has kids wants to go to gigs, but you do need space and time first and foremost. So yeah, I don't think it should be that hard, but of course, you know, four mums in the room, we all know that as soon as kids are involved, things get a bit complicated a bit quickly.
Yeah. It sounds a bit like a I don't know, like a wish list or a dream, you know. Why isn't it out there exactly well, what you need? That's, why is it so hard? Come on, people.
That's it.
You know.
And I've been involved in putting on events where that you want them to be kid friendly, but as soon as you pick one time, someone else will say, oh, but that's when my kids sleep. And it's tough. So really, maybe if any promoter wanted to just put on a series of events on the hour, every hour, and a family could come for an hour at the time that suited them, and then it all rolls into the next hour and the next family comes. So I don't know. But yeah, it is definitely very tricky, but I really appreciate the number of musos and industry people out there who are trying to make things happen for kids. But yeah, just a bit more accessibility and not pitched at that super high end, I feel like would make a lot more people feel a lot more included.
True. And I guess we're talking now a bit about shows for kids, but there's nothing to say that we can't pitch shows that are for parents, you know, shows that are for adults that have got kids and have got all these restrictions that children bring on them, like you need to get a babysitter and is this show going to go on at 11 o'clock at night and will the headline act be on at 1? You know, that's not exactly parent-friendly. Kate, have you got any answers for us?
I was just having flashbacks to a Glenn Hansard concert I went to, and I reckon it went to 12:30 and he was still going nuts on the stage, and I was just like, I'm really sorry, we have to go. Babysitter's waiting. Yeah, I was loving what Mary was saying just then, and I'd like to add cost. I think cost is a huge barrier, especially for me as a parent, because $30 a ticket for a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old who's a bit reluctant anyway, you know, for a family of, well, now we're 5, it would be up over $100 I know, like, there's a lot of stage shows and stuff I know the kids would love, but then cost just becomes so prohibitive. You know, we're pretty down with flashing the cash when we need to. So I can't even imagine for people who, say, aren't on a double income, how that would preclude them from enjoying so many amazing acts. One of the greatest things, I think, where I live is that our local pub has a guy on a guitar on a Saturday afternoon, and the pub is super kid friendly. And there's a real difference, I think, between someone saying that they're kid friendly and actually being kid friendly. You know, our kids are allowed to go in there, and if they're screaming or they make noise or you have a dirty nappy you need to change, it's not a problem. They go out of their way to make the kids feel welcome and included. That has actually increased our patronage to that pub in particular. You know, we would support them a lot more. And we're buying takeaway meals from them at the moment because Melbourne's in lockdown. Creating inclusive environments is so critical. I don't think kids care that much about, you know, whether a song's great or if a singer's great. It's all about, to quote the castle, the vibe. And you know, if we're going to really foster that love of music, we all need to kind of be like, okay, so kids are going to be noisy and they're going to be a bit loud, but you know what? They're also going to be dancing at the front, and they will be the people that will be building a relationship and wanting to continue that when they're older because of the experiences they're having when they're young. So I think if there were a lot more businesses that were willing to do things like that, it would be a lot easier for parents to still get that music fix. Yeah, and I mean, personally, I think we should launch some sort of Bluey Coachella style event. Clearly there's a need, man. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. I would actually love, if I could wave my magic wand and come up with a show, I would love to do Bluey Meets the Orchestra, because there's so yes. many amazing classical pieces in Bluey, and I think that that would just be such an amazing way of introducing kids to, say, the different sounds of the orchestra, but also some of the greatest classical pieces that we've had. And yeah, who better to do it than a small blue healer from Queensland?
Hi, I'm Dave McCormack, and you're listening to Music, Mothers and Others. In the 90s and maybe in the early 2000s, there was a really thriving underage, like you say, not talking about kids, we're talking about under drinking age music scene. And with Custard, we would always have scheduled in on our tours these gigs that would go from, you know, 2 in the afternoon yeah. until 6, and there'd be a whole lot of bands. And you're right, I do despair for the future of the music scene if there's not if there's a generation who haven't experienced that. There are some, you know, younger skewed geeks like we're talking about, like with the Regurgitator stuff, and there's stuff there, and the Wiggles obviously, and Play School do some live gigs as well for the sort of preschool age groups. But yeah, I do despair for that 12 to 16 bracket. Like where are they? What they're missing out on, what to me was just such formative years. Maybe it's happening online. I'm not aware of it, but online just doesn't have, in every respect, online just doesn't have the impact or the immediacy of the real world. Like,
you have like a bodily memory of what it's like to be in that audience, and, you know, having people push up against you as part of it, but looking up to a stage and, you know, smelling that dry ice if it's there.
Shelley, you're right. And it's just, and it's the cheapest trick in the book. Like, it's the cheapest way to pretend that you're a godlike figure, isn't it? You be loud, you're higher than everyone else, and you've got these great lights and smoke. You're like a god of thunder and music.
Yeah, I love it.
And as an audience member, we buy into it. We're like, they're amazing. Look how loud and big they are.
Well, if you want your kids to experience that, like, how do you think that might play out with, you know, assuming live venues will open?
They will, yeah. Well, yeah. My girls, a couple of years ago in Sydney, they had this thing called Dress Up Attack, which was everyone obviously dressed up, and it was like a music festival catered towards sort of preschool, early school kids. So Rose and Grace came to that, and they danced, and they were once again, you could tell they were impacted by being in the room with a relatively loud band. And just the sense of what was happening, it's just I'm hoping once the lockdown eases, this can all you know, open up and flourish. I do hope that everyone's been in hibernation for so long that so many creative people are sitting on so many great ideas just waiting for the dams to burst, and there'll be gigs everywhere and underage things and, you know what I mean, so many tours, so many, everyone will be so keen to get it happening again. They'll just be on every street corner.
Yeah, touring their ISO album that they've been making at
the moment. I know. Now, Shelley, that could be a problem because I think a lot of people will be they'll be using some of those words that you were using before that I've already forgotten, and they'll be writing very, very introspective, you know, like, today I went to the kitchen. So, oh, God, Jesus Christ, do we need to hear that?
I was by myself again for 24 hours and I forgot where my mask was.
Yeah, or is that your mask or is it my mask?
No one's washed the mask.
So, look, it'll be good when it all opens up again, but we're going to have to edit very carefully the good ISO music from the torrent of your self-absorbed.
Hi, I'm Kate Duncan from The Push, and you are listening to Music, Mothers and Others. I think, coming back to what I was saying before, COVID has been the best thing for inclusivity for everyone in our sector. Being able to equally participate via something like a Zoom meeting or just an online meeting means that, you know, you can do that whilst, you know, finishing that and coming out and having time with your child and all of those things, I think. And I hope that once social distancing measures are lifted, that we continue to do things with that at the forefront of our mind, because at The Push in particular, we've seen a massive spike in participation from young people in regional areas and rural areas because of, you know, that, as I say, that equalisation of participation. And I know speaking with the CEO of Arts Access Victoria, their community has felt like this has been the best thing for them as well. So I think that, you know, as we do move back to more face-to-face events and activities, having that opportunity to still participate via other mediums, I think is integral. I guess the only thing around that is that the thing that I've hated during this time is that people are still scheduled out of hours meetings, which I just think is like, why, you know? The last thing I want to do after 5 o'clock, after spending all day staring at a screen, is stare at a screen again. So I think the more things that we can schedule between 9 and 5 in a work context, I think that's really important. I guess from an events perspective, given that I work at The Push, of course I'm going to say this, but having events that are all ages is just an obvious way to ensure that everyone can equally participate. And so the more events that happen at a time of the day that everyone is awake and feeling good, more things like that, the better.
Yeah. Is the financial accessibility something you've noticed too? The fact that we've gone from things that are often ticketed to, you know, contribution or free, is that changing accessibility too, do you reckon?
Yeah, that's something that I kind of worry about, because here in Melbourne, we're now starting to open back up to live music events again, but they're going to be at reduced capacity. And I do worry about who that means is going to be able to access live music events if those tickets are higher cost because of reduced capacity.
And live venues have indicated that they will be at a higher price, $40, $50 to see a local band play. And I mean, I understand about covering their costs, and they'd rather be open and making it happen than remaining shut. And that ticket price is going towards supporting the live industry and also the staff who work behind the scenes, bar staff, bookers, etc. But yeah, it really does exclude a particular demographic, doesn't it? And it's people that have lost their jobs or are going to be ending JobKeeper. These are the people who will be, I guess, potentially shut out from live music experiences.
Yeah. We've been having that conversation at The Push as well around also the artists that will be on stages, because, you know, an artist that pre-COVID was charging $10 for a gig at the old bar cannot suddenly 8 months later charge $50. What's that going to mean about who's on our stages as well? But yeah, it's a real concern, and Shelley, you're right. I think we haven't seen the full impact of what it's going to have on our music community yet as JobKeeper and JobSeeker finish or are reduced. yeah, that disposable income that people once had to be able to participate and go to live events. Yeah, I'm really concerned about what that's going to look like.
Well, we hope. Let's hope that the good things happen. Maybe the money that people have saved, or transport costs, or, you know, more people at anyway, a long tail, something, anything. Let's hope so.
You're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
The kids and I are listening to what? We would love to hear what you're listening to at home with your kids. Head on over to our Music Mothers and Others Instagram page, where you'll click on our link in bio. There you'll see a way to submit your audio to us. We are super happy to have this submission from Francesca and her brother Rafferty, and their awesome renditions of Another One Bites the Dust by Queen and also Yellow Submarine by the Beatles.
Hi, I'm Francesca, and my little brother Rafferty is obsessed with Another One Bites the Dust. Dun, 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 another one bites the dust. No, bite data. Dun, dun, no, bite data. Dun, dun, another one bites the dust. Dan, dan, another one bites the dust, and another one again, another one again. Another one bites the dust. Hey, I'm gonna get you to another one bites the dust. Dan, 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 another one bites the dust. And they turn all my life in the yellow submarine. We are in the yellow submarine, the yellow submarine, the yellow submarine. We are in the yellow submarine, the yellow submarine, the yellow submarine. And it does have the
Music Mothers and Others is written and produced by Liz Dufray and Shelley Brunt and edited by Nina Longfellow. We're broadcast on 2SER and across Australia on the Community Radio Network. We are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. Visit us on Instagram and Facebook to find out who our upcoming guests will be. See you next time.